to begin with is yours. I can entrust you with my whole life. All I have to begin with is yours.
Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh
by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Tonight, we shall be looking at the subject, ingredients of faith. And our objective is to understudy those ingredients that make for Bible faith. The faith of the Bible. On Sunday, we already saw the value of faith. We saw why faith was needed in our lives. By way of introduction, it's important to know that every product is made of raw materials or ingredients. Every product. Every output is a product of input. If you are going to have a product, there are ingredients that make the product. There are raw materials. If you are going to have an output, there is an input that makes for the output. Every success is a function of secrets. Every success is a function of secrets. And if faith is a product, then faith is made up of ingredients. It's made up of raw materials. If faith is the desired outcome, then there are required input. There is the required input if faith is the desired outcome. Our objective of study tonight is to find out what those ingredients, those raw materials, what the input is to faith. And I'm looking at five of them very, very rapidly. Number one is called the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Knowing God is a platform for faith. To know God is to believe him. To know God is to trust him. Like I have said many times, we doubt people we don't know. And the truth is, even there are some people you think you know that you don't really know until they manifest themselves. You think you know them, but you never knew them. You entered into a business transaction thinking you knew them until they reveal themselves to you that they are not who you think they are. So there are people you think you know that you never really knew. That means that in order to really, really trust people, you need to really, really know them. To trust them and trust them very well, and to expect them to behave according to your expectation or according to how they presented themselves, you really, really have to know them. That is how it is. All truths are parallel. as it is in the physical, it is in the spiritual. If you want to really, really trust God without doubting Him, you have to really, really know God. You come to the point where you are fully convinced that this God that you know is too faithful to fail. He can't deceive you. He can't lie to you. Now, I'd like you to see something. The Bible said, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do what? Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. So I want to show you two equations so we can get the third equation. The first equation says the knowledge of God equals exploits. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The knowledge of God equals exploits. The second equation says faith in God equals exploits. That is Hebrews chapter 11, again verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32 all the way to verse 34. He said, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets. And he began to enumerate their exploits. Who through faith did exploits, subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of the fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight, the armies of the aliens. The knowledge of God equals exploits. Faith in God equals exploits. What does that say to you? A equals B, B equals C, which means A is directly equal to C. The knowledge of God equals exploits. Faith in God equals exploits. The meaning is the knowledge of God equals faith in God. Am I communicating? Any mathematician in the house, physician, physicist in the house? That's what it means. So the more you know God, the more rugged you become in faith. Audacity of faith is a product of revelation of God. The more you know God, the more audacious. People may be fearing for you, but you are not afraid for yourself. Because you know something that... When you have seen God, when you have met God, you can face Pharaoh. Moses met God. He saw him at the burning bush. He returned back to face the same Pharaoh that was looking for him. Pharaoh must have cleaned his eyes. Who is this? Is he not the boy we're looking for to kill? Moses pointed his finger and said, God says the Lord, let my people go. Or I will kill your sons. What? What changed? The first time Moses met Pharaoh, he had not seen God the way he saw him. The second time he was seeing Pharaoh, he had seen somebody bigger than Pharaoh. The flames of the burning bush. Am I communicating at all? In case you are struggling and you are saying, Lord, I don't have faith, just change your prayer. Lord, that I may know you and know your power. Just show me yourself. Reveal yourself to me. That was the prayer of Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Just let me know you. Just let me know you. God, let me know you. It will settle faith equation. Just make me to know you. Show me the other side of yourself. Show me your department that I don't know yet. If you can only make me to know you, I won't beg for faith. I won't struggle for faith. I will just walk normal, walk natural. Drastic, very, very frightening things will happen. Am I communicating? Say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Somebody say amen, amen like a believer. There is a level you come in God. You are so united in God and united with God in your knowledge that you are not struggling to exercise your faith. But he begins to exercise his faith through you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the... live now in the flesh. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I live by the faith
not in the Son of God, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. I have come to a point where I know him, to a point where I am not exercising my faith now. I am exercising his faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. We are just so connected, so united, so intimated, so interacted together with each other that his faith is functioning through me. Somebody say a loud amen. The reason why there is such a shortage of faith in our generation and such a shortage of exploits in our generation is because there is such a shortage of the knowledge of God in our generation. Number two, the knowledge of God is number one. Ingredient of faith number two is the knowledge or revelation in bracket of God's word. The knowledge or the revelation of God's word. The revelation of God's word. The word of God is the food of faith. The word of God is the food of faith. The word of God is the food of faith. The word of God is the fuel for faith. The word of God is the food of faith. The word of God is the fuel for faith. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 8, it says this is the word of faith. What says it? The word is near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. So the word of God is the word of faith. And it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, verse 17, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is the word of faith. Is somebody here today? The word of God is the word of faith. The word of God communicates faith. The word of God communicates life. To be connected to the word is to be connected to faith. To be connected to the word is to be connected to faith. Now let me tell you three things why the word of God is the word of faith. Number one, first of 2A, the word of God reveals the character of the Almighty. It reveals to you the character of the Almighty. Why? Because God and his word are the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. So you want to know God, know the word. Alright? When you know God, first of all, we told you that the knowledge of God will build your faith. But this word of God will cause you to know God. It will cause you to know who God is. It will cause you to know the character of God. It will cause you to know the behavior of God. It will cause you to know the immutability, infallibility, the lielessness of God. It will cause you to know the dependability, the reliability, the trustworthiness of God. It will cause you to know the constancy of God, the consistency of God. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? The word of God, the revelation of the word of God will show you who God is. When you know God, you don't struggle for faith. Secondly, the word of God reveals what God has done before and how he did them. It reveals what God has done before and how he did them. In Psalm 103 and in verse 1 to 5, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? The word of God shows you what God has done before. You see, and if you can know what God has done before, you have the right to expect what he can do again. I'll talk about that later. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. If you can see what God did before, it will show you what he can do again. For example, one day I was reading Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. And I came across verse 13, 14, 15, when I saw that the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. Peter passed by the street and the sick were healed. And when I saw that and I saw that God did that before, it exploded faith in my heart. And I was entering the healing and deliverance service and I just walked to the stage. Just from the office, the one office, if you know how it is, from the door they are open and okay, from the altar, straight to the pulpit. And I came up and I said, as I just walked now, there are people who have been healed. Just check yourself if you are healed. And the people checked themselves. And they began to troop out like water. And I said, oh, I'm not saying if you need prayer, come out. I say if you're already healed. And they trooped out the mall. What happened? It's the same person. But all of a sudden I saw fresh light. I have read that scripture before, but that day the scripture exploded in my heart. I can't be struggling to pray for the sick when somebody just passed and the sick were healed. I saw that God did that before in the Bible, and seeing that God had done that before, it made it easy for me to believe that God will do it again. I stepped into the service and incredible things happened. This is the essence of the word of God. The word of God reveals to you what God has done before that he can do again. Am I communicating? Say amen. How does the word of God build your faith? Thirdly, take your seat. The word of God reveals to you the promises of God to your life. The promises of God. It reveals the promises of God. It shows you what God has promised you. You may not have accessed them yet, but this is what God has promised you. These are the things that belong to you. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 12, it said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I see in the word of God, I saw that I'm meant to be the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. I saw that himself took my infirmities and carried my diseases. I saw that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that the whole of this world God owns it. And that everybody who has a land paper and calls himself a landlord is only a caretaker. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that put in my mind that there is no way I can need a property for God and a caretaker can hold it. That understanding delivered me completely from struggling to get church land or anything that pertains to God. It's not possible. That God needs it, and God owns it, and man is holding it, and man said no. Any property that we have ever wanted to buy, that the people refused initially, they come to beg later. There is one that they begged us, we still refuse to buy. It became a liability on them. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It shows you your promises. It shows you the word of God gives you your bill of rights. Take a look at this. This is what is yours if you are interested. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. The Bible said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. And then he said, whereby he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises in his word, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Somebody say amen. The word of God shows you the promises and the covenants. Promises is what God says he will do for you. The covenant is what you will do in order for God to do what he says he will do. It shows you the promises. Let me put it like this. It shows you possibilities and responsibilities. What God will do and what you are to do. Your possibilities and your responsibilities are right there in the word. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody who is about to step in to the inheritance of your promise in God, shout the loudest amen. You are about to break forth to inheriting something that is yours in God. Shout the loudest believers, amen. Number 3, ingredient of faith is the knowledge or understanding of the purpose and will of God. The knowledge or the understanding of the purpose and the will of God on any issue. Any area you understand what God wants to do. Any area you understand what God has proposed. Any area you understand what the will of God is. In that area there is an unusual audacity of faith. anything you know, this is what God wants. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14, he said, and this is the confidence that we have. What is the confidence? That we ask, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What is the meaning of that? It means, if I understand his will, and I understand his purpose, I have an impartation of the confidence of faith. Especially at the place of prayer. If I understand the will of God for any issue, if I understand the purpose of God for anything, I have an impartation of the confidence of faith concerning that matter. In that area, there is an impartation, especially at the place of prayer. Why? God cannot want it, and the devil stops it. Where did he say it? The Lord has proposed, and who shall disannul? Isaiah chapter 24 verse 14. Find it out for me. The Lord has proposed, and who shall disannul? 27, 14, 13, 14. Can you locate it for me quickly? The Lord has proposed, and who shall disannul? His hand is stretched out. Okay, 14, 27, the other way. For the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who shall disannul? His hand is stretched out. And who shall turn it back? God wants it. Who can deny him? God wants to do it. Who can stop him? Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. When you know the will of God, when you know the purpose of God, when you know the agenda of God, when you know what God wants to do, faith ceases to be a struggle. Why? Because God cannot deny himself. You don't struggle to get God to do what he is interested in doing. You don't struggle to get God to do what he is interested, what he is eager to do himself. And like I have said many times, the will of God is answered prayer that is waiting to be prayed. When you know what God wants, what he wills, that is, prayer has already been answered, waiting for somebody to pray it. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say, the loud must say amen. When God told the children of Israel, now, some people have wondered, why will Elijah just come up and say, there shall be no rain nor dew? Except by my word. Why will Elijah do that? Elijah did that because he knew that that was what was meant to be that time. God had already told the people, if they disobey his word, if they fail to keep his commandments, he is going to make their heaven to be closed and their earth to be dust. A rain of dust. And Elijah simply went to God, like I said before, and he said, God, you said, if these people are worshipping idol, why should they? They should not experience rain. Why are they still experiencing rain? See, 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah, 850 together. Idol prophets, all of them, sacrificing human beings. Why are they still experiencing rain? And maybe God told him, I was waiting for who will enforce this law. And Elijah said, here I am. And God said, let's go. Am I communicating? So it was so easy for the heaven to be closed. Because the purpose at that time is if the people were not worshiping God the way they should, they are not entitled to rain. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 15. If you look at verse 15 and then verse 23 and 24, he said, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. If you will not hear my word, see one of the curses, verse 23 and 24. 23, and your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of your land to be powder, dust. You know, the Hamathan dust. from heaven it shall come down upon you until you be destroyed. This is the kind of thing you are, this is the only thing you are entitled to experience if you are not serving me. That was what happened. Elisha did not just operate faith. He found out what the will of God was, what God wanted at that time, and he stepped in there. And it appeared like he was a hero. He appeared like he was a giant, and he was. But this is what happened. The same with Daniel. Daniel knew the will of God, that after 70 years in captivity, the children of Israel should be free. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my goodwill toward you in causing you to return to this place. Daniel was in captivity and waited until it was 70 years. And then when it was 70 years, he went to God in prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. He went to God in the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, that I, Daniel, understood by books. Which book? The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 10. Whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, which means he ransacked the book of Jeremiah, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And then he began to pray. From verse 3, and I set myself to seek the face of God by prayer and by supplication. Lord, you say 70 years. 70 years has happened. Should we still continue here? And God said, no. You don't even need to struggle with this prayer. It is my will. It is my purpose for you to be out of here after 70 years. Don't struggle for faith. Just struggle to know the will of God. Just struggle to understand purpose. Am I communicating? If purpose is known, the struggle is over. When I finished from secondary school, and then went to higher school, I was loaded with the desire to study medicine. I had some engineering at the back of my mind as well. And all of that. And I was at a junction. But my heart was in medicine. And I started reading medical books before entering the university. I got anatomy books and I was reading. And we're in a prayer meeting. And one of the women there said, that brother there, as we're praying, I just saw something. I saw you wearing lab coat, white doctor's coat, with your stethoscope on your neck. I don't know. But that is what I just saw. Little prayer meeting. Inside a little vestry. I already knew. And here comes someone who had no clue as to what was my line. I smashed medicine like any. No receipt one day. Went through in our first exam, 120 people. Sat for the exam, only 29 passed. Without a receipt. I mean, I knew this was what I was, and then before I entered the medical school, I had an agreement with God. I am going to preach full blast on campus. I am going to be there as your minister. All I want for you to do for me is to ensure that I don't have one receipt. And I don't want to fail one exam. I will do your work full time. It was a sealed deal. I had never gone to the exam notice board and imagined one receipt or imagined fail against any subject. Not once, by his message. Am I communicating? There is such a ruggedity of faith when you understand you are on the path of purpose. There is such a ruggedity of faith when you understand you are on the path of the will of God. I announce to somebody here today, the days of shaking and failing, those days are over forever. And I don't care where you are on your journey of life, it's never too late. It's never, never too late. It's never, never too late to strike the deal with God. It's never, never too late to strike your deal with God, to write your own ticket with God. It's never, never too late. It's never, never too late. Papa Yedeko said, no matter how far you went in the wrong direction, A U-turn is possible when you realize. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So don't live with assumption. Be rugged in the understanding of purpose. We came in here clear understanding that this is where God wants us to be. We had lands in this city. Big lands here and there. But God spoke to me and said, remember the place I showed you. And I knew where he showed me. It was on the airport road here, this same place. He gave me a landmark. And then we had to come, look for the land. Send somebody, prayed for someone. Almost made up our mind to go somewhere else and develop some part of this city. When we're almost trying to make such a move, the Lord said, remember what I showed you. And I remembered, and I called one of the property agents. I said, go to the airport road. So and so landmark. Look right. At that side, that's where our land is. I anointed him. And I said, look for it and bring it. He ransacked this place, and under 7 days he was back. And he said, I have seen lands, in fact, over 500 hectares of lands, and they can sell as much as we are ready to buy. Wow. I said, all right, let's go. Long story made short, when we came here and the construction started, Dr. Miss Enenche is here seated today. Throughout that season of construction, do you remember any night where there was a drop in sleep? Not a half sleep was lost. You came here in the daytime, they are talking of how many trailers of cement is needed for today, how many millions is needed, iron rod, 80 something million naira for rods, 90 million. This perimeter beam on this fence here, the clearance of it was over 90 million. That's clearing. Not the material cost. That is to clear and do and all that. Of those days, not today's amount. Do you understand what I'm saying? And everything was just moving as one pastor came one day. He said, why is it that all these things are going on and you are so calm and so normal? And as far as I was concerned, I was doing nothing. Why? Every time you find purpose, you find faith. And when you find faith, you find rest. Because they which believe to enter into rest. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3. Somebody say amen. We which believe, we enter into rest. You find this is what God wants to do. You align with it. You face it. You pursue it. Faith is effortless. And with faith in God, with belief in God, comes rest. And see, some people are carrying elephants, like I said some time ago, and they are flying. And some are carrying rats, and they are sweating. Listen, friends. Hallelujah. Every area of life where you need to know what God wants for your life, I declare, it is done. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. I have not prayed one day, God, please let there be peace in the home. It's not a prayer point. By his mercy, it will never be. First, I did not rush to marry what my eye gave me. I went for what God gave me. Two, I am operating it according to scripture. Husband, love your wife. Don't beat your wife. Don't scream on your wife. Don't shout on your wife. Don't find your wife's fault all the time. Just love your wife. Just ensure that you value your wife. Ensure that you allocate her respect. There are men who shout on their wives everywhere, including in front of their children. That woman is a shadow of herself. And I wonder why there is crisis at home. Then you come to the woman, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Your own husband. I know you submit to your boss in the office. But this case now we are dealing with your own husband. Respect him. Don't marry him if you can't respect him. If you can't submit to him. And once everybody plays his role, and you line up with the word of God, Magana Yakarais. Today, people marry before they find out, am I in the will of God? They have already slept with each other. Bed on bed defiled. Everything upside down. Eating the food before it is dining time. Everything upside down. And they are wondering why things are not working. I prophesy to you today. Help is coming your way. That amen can be better. That amen can be better. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. A louder believer's amen. This point I am preaching on, I'm not sure I've preached on this particular point on faith since we know each other. That if you find purpose, take your seat. If you find purpose, if you find out the will of God, faith becomes effortless. You remember that man who was talking to Jesus? I think it was the leper man in Matthew chapter 8. Was it from verse 2 and 3? When he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. What does that say to you? Very heavy pregnant statement. If you will, that is Jesus, I am not doubting that you can do it. I am convinced you can heal me. What I am not sure of is whether you want to heal me. That is where the problem lies. Everybody knows God is powerful. Everybody knows God can do it. The question is, does God want to do it for me? That is vernacular exclamation. That is why faith in the will of God is the strongest realm of faith, stronger than faith in the power of God. Faith in the will of God is your strongest realm. Stronger than faith in just the power of God. God is powerful. Everybody, even the devil knows. But what is the will now? What does God want to do? You know that from the word, and you know that in the realm of the spirit. At the place of communion and communication. God may reveal to you or show you from his word and then from in the realm of the spirit where he is going, the direction he's moving with your life. For example, where your resources are tied, the kind of business where he wants you to put money that will bring your results. Faith in the will of God is the strongest realm of faith. It's stronger than faith in the power of God. I know you can heal me. What I don't know is whether you want to heal me. Then Jesus settled it. I will. And since you know I can heal you, I am also willing to heal you. Be healed. If faith in power could heal him, he would have been healed before he met Jesus. But in the will, once the will question was settled, the healing was released. I announce to you, and he said, what I say to one, I say to all. Everyone trusting God for a healing or a deliverance today, I will is also your portion. I will, that he said to one, he says to all. I declare your healing is here. Your deliverance is here. Your fruitfulness is here. Your liberty is here. Your open door is here. Your breakthrough is here. Your turnaround is here. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Number four, and I'll round off shortly. And if I stopped here, I actually have preached already. Number four, number one is the knowledge of God. Ingredient number one. Number two, the knowledge or the revelation of God's word. Number three is the knowledge or understanding of the purpose and will of God. Number four is the testimonies of his acts. The testimonies of God's acts. What he has done in your own life or in the lives of others is a builder of faith. They are builders of faith. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 35 all the way to verse 33. And the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 36. I read all the way to verse 38. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Since you have told me Elizabeth's story, I believe, let it be to me according to the word. And the angel departed. In verse 45 of the same Luke chapter 1, when she met Elizabeth, eventually Elizabeth said, and blessed is she that believed. She believed because she heard the testimonies in addition. And for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Somebody say aloud, amen. Why does it build our faith? Because he said, I am the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I change not means what I do for one, I can do for all. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. I am consistent, I am constant. I did it yesterday, I'll do it today, I'll do it tomorrow. That is who I am. The same yesterday and today and forever. Testimonies. We'll do three things, and let me say that quickly. First, testimonies bring joy and guidance or counsel. Psalm 119 verse 24, it said, thy testimonies are thy delight. When you start in the church, delight and counsel us. When you sit in the church, a testimony comes, your joy explodes. And when your joy explodes, your faith explodes. They are also your counselors. That is, they guide you. Somebody told you what they did. I was not tithing before. I was not serving God before. I went out on evangelism. I became serious in serving God. And then God sorted me out here or there. He begins to counsel you. That since God is no respecter of persons, and he's a respecter of principles, if we follow the same principles, we can end with the same products. Secondly, testimonies reveal your inheritance. Psalm 119 verse 111, he said, I have taken thy testimony as my heritage. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Testimonies reveal your inheritance. They reveal they reveal your possibilities in God. When that sister testified that she was singing, you are always there to help. You are always there to help me. And in the midst of kidnappers, and the next place she found herself was on the highway. That reveals to you your inheritance. That you can be transported by Philippian Airways when necessary. Anybody knows Philippian Airways? How Philip traveled. How he appeared and disappeared. How he was not transported. Not even translated, transpirated. How he was transwinded. He traveled in the wind. Am I communicating? The testimonies reveal your heritage. They reveal your inheritance. They show you your possibilities in God. Somebody say amen. And thirdly, testimonies are prophetic missiles. Put it straight away, testimonies are prophecies. When you see someone testifying, they are actually prophesying. What is coming out of their mouth is prophecy. They are showing that you are the next that can have such a thing. The testimony of Jesus, Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, is the spirit of prophecy. 10b is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is coming out as a testimony, it carries a spirit of prophecy. It carries a spirit of prophecy. There is a prophecy on it. When he says, the child died in the womb, and the power of God brought that child back, or that this and that happened, it's prophecy. And I announce to someone here today, every testimony you have heard in this ministry that looks like what you are looking for, I announce to you that is already your prophecy. And that prophecy is coming to pass in this season. Can that amen be louder? Can that amen be louder? Every testimony you have heard in this ministry that looks like what you are trusting God for is already your prophecy. And the prophecy shall come to pass. Shall the Lord say amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise as you take your seat. David said, the God who delivered me from the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Testimonies. What God did for you before is the foundation for what he will do again. One thing we must know about God is that what he did yesterday, he can do today, he can do tomorrow. What he did there, he can do here, he can also do there. Am I communicating? What he did with him, he can do with him and can do with her. God's power, mercy, is universal in applicability. If you heard it, he did it for one, you can just latch onto it because he will do it for you. Say amen. Finally, number 5 is the lifestyle of uprightness. It's an ingredient of faith. The lifestyle of uprightness, practical holiness. What I'm talking about is uprightness with a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards man, according to Acts 24:16. Uprightness of life with a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards men. Towards God, your heart is clear. Every issue between you and God is cleared. Towards man, your mind is clear. Proverbs 28 verse 1. He said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous, the upright, the man with a clear conscience is as rugged, is as bold, is as confident, as unflinching as a lion. How is that? Proverbs 30 and in verse 30. The lion is the strongest among the beasts, and he turneth not away for anything. He doesn't give way for any challenge. He doesn't bow for any devil or any demon or any witch or any wizard. He's so confident, he's so audacious, there is nothing that turns it back. And he said, the righteous are as bold as that lion. Hallelujah. When conscience is defiled, boldness is deflated. When you maintain the defilement of the conscience, you sustain a deflation of your boldness. That is somewhere, somehow. Something will tell you. The devil may tell you. Your own heart may tell you that you are not qualified for the mantle you are asking for. See, you are not qualified for the favor. You know, the devil is his official title. He's the accuser of the brethren. You didn't do anything. He's accusing you, Belente. You remember Job? The Bible says Job was the most upright man in his generation. He feared God is a pseudemon. Nobody could find Job's fault. Yet the devil says because of his sin. All manner of accusation against Job. It took God for Job to survive. Say, can't you see Job? You are such a terrible man. You drink iniquity like water. Job said, me? When? There is a way the devil may describe you to you. You'll be wondering whether you are the person the devil is talking about. Am I the one you are talking about? I'm me. And some agents of the devil, there is a way they may describe you to you. And you are wondering whether they are talking about another person or yourself with such an innocence and purity of conscience without any mind to hurt even a fly. Am I the one you are describing? That is why you exercise your conscience to be void of offense. Avoid a conscience that is guilty. And if guilt arrives, avoid the sustenance of guilt. I counsel people never to sleep over an unconfessed sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. In John chapter 14, now, you see, Jesus walked in an unusual realm of faith. I'll give you two examples, Jesus and Samuel. I will close there. He walked in an unusual realm of faith, an unusual realm of authority. What will be the reason for such level of faith and authority can tell the storms, keep quiet? He said that to us in John chapter 14 verse 30. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh, and he has no property in me. The devil is looking for fault. Devil, come and find my fault. That was Jesus talking. No wonder he could break the devil's head at will. And then one day, he asked a very, very serious question to the Pharisees, John chapter 8 verse 46. How many of you can convince me of sin? Convict me of sin. Which among you? Which among you? All of you, far to see and sad to see. Not one person lifted their hand. No wonder. The audacity of faith. The authority of command. Then you move down to Samuel. Samuel demonstrated a rare dimension of faith and spiritual authority on the ground of his uprightness. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3 to verse 5, 1 Samuel chapter 12, he said, behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose cow did I steal? Whose ass? Whose donkey, whose jackie have I taken? Or whom have I, you are laughing, I see jackie. Or whom have I defrauded? Who did I cheat? Who did I do business with? He's complaining now. In most places you can't ask this kind of question. Among the brethren, most times you can't ask this kind of question. Who did I cheat? Keep going. Whom have I oppressed? Or out of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it. Tell me. And they said, you have not defrauded us. You have not oppressed us. You have not taken anything out of him, any man's hand. Verse 5. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they said, he is witness. We can confirm that you are okay. Then he now shifted to power. Verse 16. If now you have confirmed that there is no challenge, now stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes.
Is this not wheat harvest? Are we not in Harmattan, dry season?
I will call upon the Lord and he will send thunder and rain in November. These days that there is climate change, you don't even know which is which anymore. But in the rugged dry season, I am asking for thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. And he called, verse 18. So Samuel called on the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. That is, on the basis of my integrity, I want to demonstrate authority. I want to demonstrate audacity, and I want to demonstrate authority. And he demonstrated it. The rain fell, the thunder blasted, according to the word of the man who said, "Did I cheat any of you? Stand up on your feet." On the ground of this integrity, I want to demonstrate audacity. 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 We need the knowledge of God. We need the knowledge and the revelation of his word. We need an understanding of his purpose and his will. We need to refer to the testimonies of his acts. We need the lifestyle of uprightness. I have just one counsel. Show value for your life by taking the time to build your faith. Because the just shall live by his faith. Show value for your life. Show that you value both natural life and spiritual life by taking the time to build your faith. Take your seat 1 minute. Shut that. Lift your hands and just thank him. If the last point is what we are going to anchor on this night, help me to live a life that exercises conscience to be void of offense towards God and man. Help me, Lord. Lift your right hand. Oh Lord, you are beautiful.
Of my first love.
I will always seek your face. Lord, help me light that fire. Oh, Lord, I need my fire back. Please light that fire. Mahashata kalagaya gadaya. That once burnt bright and clean. Replace the land. Replace the land of my first love. That burnt with holy fire, holy fear. Oh Lord, please light the fire. Oh Lord, stand on your feet right now, everywhere you are. Please light that fire. That once burnt bright and clear. Replace the land. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit. Thank you.
Clap your hands everywhere you are.
And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father,
Father,
I ask that you will cause me
to know you.
To know you.
To know you.
Say, Father,
Father,
that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Help me, Lord, to know you. Help me, Lord, to know you intimately. Draw me closer to yourself today. Lift up your voice and say, Father, open my eyes to your promises for my life in your word. Help me to see what I need to see of your promises to my life in your word. Open my eyes, oh Lord, to your promises in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Talked about the understanding of his will and purpose. I was meant to let you know that what keeps us praying for Nigeria and having faith in the rescue of this nation is because of our understanding of the purpose of God, the prophetic purpose of God for this nation. Nigeria is not designed to be overrun by the forces of the Antichrist. No, it's in the prophetic agenda of God for this nation to be a catalyst for global evangelization. God
wants to showcase his power, his might, and even his glory. He wants to use this nation as a pace-setting nation for other nations of our color globally. I said it many years ago that a time will come when people will look for the passport of Nigeria the way people are looking for American and British passport. Everything looks upside down now, but the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What the devil does over 1,000 years, God can clean out in a day. For 1,000 days, 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. And so we are going to pray. Father, let your divine purpose for my life, my family, the church, and this nation come to pass in this season. I said in the healing service yesterday, we are not trusting God for a possibility that is in the future. We are trusting God for a purpose whose season has come. What God planned to do in Nigeria 30 years ago, it was in the future. But in this season, in this 2023, it is in the present. It is in the moment. So we're going to pray. It's in the now. Nothing stops it. No witchcraft stops it. No conspiracy stops it. No amount of wickedness stops it. No amount of fraud stops it. No amount of corruption stops it. Nothing. If God can use Lucifer to fulfill his assignment, he thought he was crucifying the Son of God, not knowing he was on assignment for God. God needed that a job done, and an angel couldn't do it. He needed a bad person. Bad guy. To crucify his Son, so that he can die for the sins of the world. No angel Michael won't do it. And this bad guy thought he was doing his bad work as usual, not knowing that he has been recruited as the errand boy he was created to be. For that moment, there's nothing, nobody, no matter how wicked, God will make, turn them to fulfill his purpose. We're going to pray. Father, let your purpose for my life, for my family, for the church, for this nation come to pass in this season. Lift your hands and say, Father, we ask, I ask for your divine purpose for my life, my family, for the church, for this nation, for Nigeria. I ask that it comes to pass in this season. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. This number four is not a prayer but a release. Lift your hands. Every testimony you have heard on this altar, you have seen in this ministry, anything you know that God has done for others, that you are asking, Lord, do it for me. or you are wondering why the Lord has not done it for you, lift up your hands and receive it right now. Father, confirm that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, confirm that you are no respecter of persons. Release for your children what you have released for others before. Lift your hands when I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3. You scream, I receive, and place your hand on your head and receive any testimony, fruitfulness testimony, testimony of breakthrough, open door testimony, any testimony you ever heard that God has done for anybody here that is in your mind. I'd like you to focus on it right now. Just focus on those children that God is giving you the fruit of the womb is his reward. Focus on the marital breakthrough testimony. Focus on all the things. Focus right now. When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive, and place your hands on your head and receive it. Father, let it be.
There will be an answer. Let it be.
Are you ready for your testimony? Testimony you'll be sharing this coming Sunday. Testimony that will manifest in the next 24 hours. Visitations in your dream of the night. Are you ready for the testimony? When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive, and place your hand on your head. Father, let the testimony be released right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. And give him the praise. And the final prayer we shall pray, say, Father, I receive the grace to exercise my conscience, to be void of offense towards God and man. I receive the grace to exercise my conscience, to be void of offense towards God and man. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for cleansing of anything in my life that may limit your walking in my life, that may limit my operation of faith. I ask for it now. Open your mouth and speak to God. precious name. Thank you, Master, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name. If you are here tonight and you are saying to me, Pastor, I need to give my life to Christ. I want my sins forgiven. Don't sit down here. I'll tell you when to sit. I know I've offended God in many ways. I need my conscience to be cleared. I need my sins forgiven. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. I want an addiction broken. Something you are not happy with that is pulling you down. Lying, cheating, stealing, smoking, drinking. Immorality, masturbation. Prostitution, womanizing. Anything that has pulled your life down. It's destroying your prayer life. Affecting your spiritual life. You want to make it right with God. Or maybe you just want to rededicate yourself to God. Quickly, carry your Bibles and your bags and step forward here. After that, I'll pray one more prayer. Quickly. Quickly, I give you the count of seven and be the first to come.
I give you my soul.
One.
I live for you alone.
Two. Three.
Every moment I
have your way, Lord. Everyone now, those of you in the front here, place your hand on your chest. Please, everybody remain standing. There's one more prayer. And if there is anyone who needs to rededicate, okay, we've done that. Anyone who needs to rededicate and you want to be a full member of the church, join us also in the front here. And if you are here for the first time, join us also in the front. Please, counselors, you help me to identify and distinguish them. You want to be a full member of this church, join us forward. Or you are first here for the first time, join us forward now. Those in the front here, place your hand. Again, say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken. Grace to live for God be released upon you. I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.